Mayfly time is the pinnacle for most brown trout anglers, and we're pleased to announce our next Ireland on the Fly Masterclass is focusing on mayfly tactics with international angler, guide and renowned fly tyer Jackie Mahon.
On Thursday the 25th of April at 8 p.m, Jackie will be discussing how to make the most of the conditions, the best flies and methods to use, as well as giving his tips and insights from a lifetime of experience.
So, to join us for this masterclass on Thursday 25th of April, just go to www.irelandonthefly.com/masterclass. Tickets cost €10 and all attendees will get a copy of Jackie's notes as well as access to the recording of the webinar afterwards.
And stay tuned for our masterclasses throughout 2024, covering salmon, rivers, lochs, streamers, lures, dries, everything to make you a better salmon or trout fly angler, helping you to catch more this year and to learn from the best. For more information, email us on info@irelandonthefly.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ireland on the Fly podcast, the weekly podcast covering the latest news, reports and interviews from fly fishing in Ireland. My name is Dara Whelan and we'll be covering salmon, sea trout, brown trout, even pike and bass throughout the season as we find out about the future and tradition of this sport that we all love in Ireland. We'll be speaking to guides, instructors, gillies, fishery owners, anglers to find out more about what it is that makes this sport so special, from the history to what's going on right now, and also to maybe try and get a sense of where we're all headed. For the very first episode, we're going to be speaking to Shane Gallagher, the manager of the Drows fishery. The Drows, of course, opens on New Year's Day, one of the first rivers to open, and regularly gets the first salmon caught of the season. Shane's going to give us an update for how the first 10 days went, and we'll also find out a bit more about the fishery, how his father bought it in 1978, and how really developed that tradition of January the 1st for salmon anglers. So without further ado, here's Shane Gallagher from the Drows fishery.
10th of January now, and no salmon have been landed here. Conditions have been good. Conditions were good on opening day on January 1st. Water levels were lower than normal. It was extremely mild, and it's continued mild really since opening day. The weather's changed now. It's very stormy out there today. It's turning colder, and there's heavy rain forecast over the weekend. But there's been some sightings of fresh fish, and yesterday there was a fish lost just above the new bridge on Spinner, but nothing landed yet.
And what about numbers of anglers out?
Yeah, it's been quieter now than normal. I think that, I suppose, the trend recently has been that fish haven't been caught as frequently on opening day, so people are probably waiting until there's a bigger head of fish in the water to come out in numbers. And probably things like, whereas maybe some years ago people would, freely travel on New Year's morning. You know, if people are celebrating the night before, they're probably reluctant to travel too far.
And isn't the funny thing is, like, the conditions are actually getting milder, if anything, around kind of New Year's Day, that they're more conducive and accommodating for anglers to get out. But the reality is, like you said, is maybe the run is happening that little bit later now.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, I was just looking at the figures there today. Like, we took over the fishery in 1978, and like there was an opening day fish, 1st of January, maybe multiple fish, or like, I think on all but a handful of occasions up until my father passed away in 2002. And like, you know, you would have had very cold conditions, very high water. So it didn't really seem to matter the conditions so much, back in the 80s, 90s. I think there was just a bigger head of fish. There was fish running at different times earlier, you know.
Mm. And do you think, are you putting it down to a later run or and lesser numbers, a combination of all different factors?
Yeah, I think personally the spring, the number of spring fish caught has been consistent really. But when they have been caught is the factor that's changing. So, and the quality of fish, even last year now, we were probably getting our run time seems to be extended, whereas before, maybe at the end of middle to the end of April, the spring run would have been all but over in the river, maybe back in the 80s. It's extended now, but it's definitely contracting at the start of the season.
And are you having to change anything for yourself in terms of the running of the fishery to reflect that? Or do you think, I suppose what I'm asking is, New Year's Day, opening day, it's still going to be the mark in the calendar, isn't it? It's still going to be the tradition, no matter what?
Well, I think so. Like, if you look at some of the Scottish fisheries, say tomorrow now is the 11th of January, you have the Hemsdale and the Tursow opening, you have the Tay opening on the 15th. So, like, you know, there are other fisheries around the country that open early. Even in Ireland here, you have the Lennon and the Laca and Loch Gill. But the opening day stays the same. But, like, if you look at, say, the Scottish fisheries, probably only the River Tay now and open on the 15th will consistently deliver a fishing open day. It's probably, if you look at all the opening days of fisheries throughout Ireland, England and Scotland and Wales, it's probably the exception rather than the rule to produce a fish on the first day of the season for any river. So, you know, it's become an expectation, but it's probably exceptional rather than the norm, really.
Mm. And in fairness, opening day in the Drows is about anything but fishing in many respects, Shane, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it's a tradition. it's a chance for people to get together. It's a long winter. It's probably, after the Christmas holidays, it's a long time to spend cooped up, but our family members as well, so it's nice to get out on the water and maybe test some, new fishing tackle that you've had for Christmas. And it's a tradition. I think it's important. Even, say, on closed fisheries like the River Liffey, there's a dispensation given to anglers to fish on the 1st of January on their traditional open day, because I think it's an acknowledgement that, it's more than just fishing. It's there's heritage there, there's culture, there's a whole part of what salmon angling really means, you know?
Yeah, and I didn't make it up this year, but I was there last year, and I was struck by, it was carnival atmosphere is maybe the wrong word, too strong, but it was a real sense of camaraderie and chatting to other anglers, you know, who'd been coming for 10, 20 years. Again, they just make it a tradition of making a point of coming.
It would be certainly a big part in a lot of salmon anglers' calendars, and you know we're very proud of the fact that we've had people there's a guy Darrell Kennedy. He caught first salmon I think when he was 8 years of age in 1982, and he hasn't missed the 1st of January since. He was brought down as a boy with his late father Trevor Kennedy, and from generation to generation, and it's become a mark in the calendar. Probably there's as many non-anglers or non-fishers just up to see, to talk to anglers and to see what the, you know, what's been caught or what spawning was like, and just to have a chat. Just it's a long enough close season, and it's just a nice way to mark the start of the season. I suppose opening day is important. You know, it's an important day on any fishery, but when an opening day coincides with the first day of the year as well, it's sort of extra special.
Did you say Darrell? He was 8 years of age when he caught.
Yeah, Darrell Kennedy from Moira in County Down. He's a butcher, and he's been coming every year since then. So he hasn't missed. He was there this year again, and you know, driven through snow and ice and everything to be here on the first. And he's married himself now with a young family, and he's still making the pilgrimage every New Year's Day.
And of course, as well for you and your family, Shane, it's Christmas is obviously a busy time for everybody, but for the Gallaghers, it must be exceptionally busy for you guys trying to get everything ready.
Yeah, well, we certainly turn our attention from turkey to salmon on Stephen's Day, and you know the phone starts ringing and we start to get emails and people asking about conditions, and we're always keeping a wary eye on the weather forecast. So yeah, it's a big day. My own children love coming up and talking to anglers that they haven't seen, you know, for 3 months from the end of the season. And yeah, it's probably the biggest day in the fisheries calendar and the biggest day in our family's calendar. Absolutely.
Did you get out do any fishing yourself?
No, I haven't fished on an opening day since I think I was about maybe since I was a boy. It's always been all hands on deck. So it's maybe in the couple of days after I was out for the first time, just in the last couple of days, and I didn't do any good. But it's nice to be back on the water again.
And again, what I have to say is, like, what I love about being up there is, you know, it's an open fishery on the day. You know, you're really trying to encourage numbers and people to come. You provide soup and sandwiches. It's, you don't have to do it, but it's just, again, it kind of adds to the overall atmosphere in the day, I think.
Yeah, well, I suppose that was the way it always, as I remember it as a child, as I say, like my father He grew up on the banks of the river, and his first open day was in 1978. He had actually caught the first salmon on two occasions before he bought the fishery. But I suppose hospitality was always important. I think on the first our first open day, there was maybe a dozen anglers was all that was turned out. And over time then, I suppose the fishery's reputation grew. And, it would have been an open day fish. There was always a bit of rivalry with the Liffey. So my father sort of pushed a boat out to try and put the Drowes on the map. It's a small river. It's only 5 miles long, and it's coming from the county with the smallest coastline in the country, County Leitrim. So it was important to sort of make an extra special effort to make it worthwhile for people to come.
Any particularly memorable fish from opening day down through the decades, Shane?
Yeah, I suppose every fish is memorable in its own way, really. It's hard to maybe, I suppose the most memorable fish would have been in maybe the opening day that my father actually passed away in 2002. Patsy Tracy from Enniskillen caught the fish in the millpool, and it was probably late in the evening. We'd almost given up hopes of a fish being landed, so it was starting to get dark around 4 o'clock, and Patsy came into the tackle shop with his fish and had the usual celebratory crest of town or Jemison, and my father had, which turned out to be the last photograph that was ever taken of him, with the first salmon of the year in 2002. And minutes later, he went away to wash his hands after handling the fish, and got a heart attack. So that was probably the most poignant first salmon that I remember.
I suppose if anything, some place to go, wasn't it, for your father? In terms of
absolutely. Yeah. Well, he was relatively young. He was only 65. So, but. I think if he had to pick a way to go, that would have been one of the best ways.
And for you then at the time, because it was sudden, Shane, was it very much then kind of you were nearly forced into having to take over the running of the fishery maybe sooner than you thought, was it?
Yeah, possibly. My father had been in relative ill health for a number of years previously. So I had come home to help out, really, but I hadn't expected to be thrown in at the deep end. I was only, I think, 25, and I had expected to learn a lot more from him and maybe sort of shadow him for a couple of years at the fishery, but that's not how it turned out.
And how did you find it those initial few years in terms of when you were?
Yeah, well, I was very lucky with we have a very loyal loyal anglers, loyal season permit holders, and Bill Likely too would have been a real stalwart there, and the general goodwill of the community. I think we've always tried to be very much grounded in the community, and there was a lot of goodwill there. So without the support, the help and support, and of my own family as well, it would have been much more difficult. But it turned out it's probably. There's all those difficulties, and I suppose, especially with salmon fishing, and there's a lot of pessimism about salmon runs and about the future of salmon angling, really in general. But it's we're 18 years on now, so we're still open, and there's still a good, healthy number of salmon coming. So. It's worked out okay.
Talk to me about that in terms of salmon runs and the pessimism around it. You wouldn't subscribe to that, would you?
Certainly the number of salmon returning are reduced, but I don't think there's any doubt that there's still sustainable fisheries in Ireland, but by any measure, So, I don't think that because salmon isn't produced on opening day consistently on the river anymore, that it can be taken as a bellwether for the overall health of a system. One swallow doesn't make a summer, and one salmon doesn't make a season.
How did the catches hold up for the Drows for the rest of the year?
Yeah, 2019 was a good year. As I said, the spring run has been consistent. And if you remember, 2018 was a drought year, so it was much more difficult. So the 2018 catch stats are out, and the catch really all over the country is down by a third or more. So I put a lot of that down to the sustained drought in the peak of the Grilts run in June, July. But if you look overall, I think in 2018, even though it was a difficult year overall for salmon, the spring catch was actually increased from 2017.
Okay. Tell me this, do you think a lot of it is around the pessimism of it? And it's, you know, we're seeing extremes of weather. There's a real, you know, you've climate change, you know, the wider kind of existential issue of kind of what the hell is going on with the planet and the environment in general is kind of feeding into that kind of sense for anglers that, you know, you don't know, the run is changing, you don't know what's happening. It's just, there's no definitive answers anymore.
No, well, that is the main frustrating thing that I would see as being somebody who manages a salmon fishery, is that there is no there is no one fundamental cause that can be pointed at. And, you know, I've studied the literature and the journals pretty rigorously, and, you know, one study could come out and say, indicate one reason for a decline in salmon, and then it can be contradicted 6 months later. And, you know, so it's very difficult to have any consistency about a single cause. So I think the real explanation is that there's a lot of different causes, and any approach to address the decline in salmon is going to have to be holistic. And you know, if we continue to just focus on one aspect of salmon decline, then we're not going to solve any issues. We're not going to increase salmon numbers, and you know, it's just going to spiral further down, really.
What can you do as the manager of a salmon fishery? Like, what's within your control that you can manage yourself?
Well, I think one of the fundamentals has to be habitat. Like, you know, people will say that over-exploitation by anglers or catch and release is a solution. If you look at from 2007, I think the exploitation of salmon has reduced by 96% since the ending of the drift nets, but we're still seeing a decline in numbers. So if you look at the recent EPA report on water quality has reduced in the last 20 years. There's only a handful of pristine rivers or streams in the country at the moment, you know, compared to 20 or even 40 years ago.
And isn't that incredible, Shane, actually, within the context of the EU Water Frameworks Directive? Because we've heard so much about that, and yet when you're still reading that the water quality is still going down.
Yeah, like it's, well, I suppose there is increased intensification maybe of farming, and there's increased population levels, but it's a fundamental thing. Like, if you can release, you know, every salmon in the system, and if the habitat isn't there, or if it's not of a sufficient quality, you're not going to get any additional salmon coming back if the habitat is degraded.
It also struck me, as well, just from that report as well, on the catch report from 2018, just remind me the figure for catch and release. Does it come to hand for you? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere around maybe 45% in 2018, where it had to be 47% in 2017.
But the majority of salmon being caught are still being killed.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. But the majority, well, actually not the majority, all of the salmon that are being harvested or being killed are being harvested in fisheries that have been deemed to be sustainable above the conservation limit by the Standing Scientific Committee. So it's not, anglers are not randomly killing fish or harvesting fish. They're only being harvested in salmon waters where it's deemed sustainable. And I would say as well that in a lot of those rivers where anglers are harvesting fish, commercial nets are taking, you know, sometimes the lion's share.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Like, I suppose maybe an angler a lot of the time feel that they're the easy target sometimes when there's other bigger forces at play.
It's very easy to say, you know, we're going to control the controllables and reduce, you know, reduce what anglers take. But if we don't address the fundamentals like water quality, protection, of, you know, then all the other sacrifices that anglers make are for nothing.
Just about to bring you back, Shane, just finally, is 1978 is when the Drows first opened. You might just talk to me about it was incredible, your father, Thomas, in terms of the fishery became available, and it was the first time in a couple of hundred years that, like, your family actually, who had owned and had lived on the river for centuries actually had access to fishing there. Is that right? You might just give me the background to how your father came to buy the dress.
Our family had grown up. I'm actually living in a house now, which was a mill, which was my grandfather's mill, and milling was sort of in the blood. So my father grew up and they had a corn mill that was turned into a sawmill. And so back in the maybe mid-70s, he was supplying a lot of wooden fish boxes before plastic fish boxes, you know, came into being to the port in Killybegs, which is just about an hour's drive from the fishery. So over time, he became allergic to the sawdust. So he was advised medically, basically, that he had to exit the industry. And it just so happened that the fishery here it came up for sale. So he took the plunge and he started to develop some of the cottages that were on the estate into holiday cottages. And he developed a relationship with a German tour operator called Andres Engelreisen. And it was extremely difficult in the early days because even though the stocks of salmon were probably more than they are now, you know, you were in the middle of the Troubles. There wasn't very many direct flights into Ireland from some of our, you know, destinations like there is now. So it was a real struggle, but it was thankfully a success story. And, you know, thankfully to this day, we get a lot of repeat customers. Some, as I say, going back to, you know, to the very beginnings of our association with the fishery.
Did people think your father was mad at the time when he bought it?
Yeah, I think so. There was probably an element of that. But I think he was lucky because he was a local, because he had an intimate knowledge of the river. And he encouraged locals, and he, you know, whereas before it was managed in a way maybe where locals were excluded. And there was probably a little bit of resentment there. So when the community was behind, you know, my father in its management, and they saw over time the beneficial effects of increased anglers and increased tourists coming into the area in the local bars, restaurants and shops, certainly like for a small community in North Leitrim, it's as good as my father used to say, as good as a small factory for employment in the area, you know.
Was the fishery pre 1978 like a private fishery only at the time, was it?
It went through various guises. My grandfather, my dad's dad, was actually a ghillie on the river back in the 1920s, and it was probably more of a shooting estate back then, not fishing. But Kingsmill Moor, like in one of his A Man May Fish, he devotes a chapter to coming here to fish. The chapter is called The Big House. Which was actually burnt down in the 1930s, but the fishery at one stage was associated with a local hotel, but it wouldn't have been fished by many locals at all, really.
Mm-hmm. But so your dad really had this vision then, was to kind of make it open for more people and to really kind of bring the community and people together with the fishery, which is the way it should be.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, you know, now there's moves towards, say, river trusts and bringing everybody in the community, getting people involved in river management. And I think maybe my father was ahead of his time back then, because when he was growing up, he grew up on the banks of the river, literally within a rod length from the waters of the river. And he wasn't allowed to fish. Of course he did, like any young boy would. But, you know, he would have been ran by gamekeepers and bailiffs and all the rest. So I think that really resonated with him. It struck him, and he always felt that if he ever became the owner of the river, that, you know, he would make it or run it in such a way that even to this day, like we don't charge juveniles to fish. All they need is their government license, and just to have it always within the reach of ordinary people. And you know, I know other fisheries will have fly-only policies and will have beat systems and all the rest, but like that's not really our ethos. Anybody who wants to, you know, fly fish only on 2 miles of riverbank, they have the opportunity to do that wherever they want, really. They have the wherewithal, but not everybody can access a quality salmon river where they have a chance of catching the fish, if they are of modest means, or if they want to fish, if they want to spin, or if they want to bait fish and things like that. So it's important to, in a time of dwindling participation in salmon angling, I think it's very important to make it less exclusive, to encourage people to participate. Like most of us that are fishing would have started off fishing maybe with a worm, catching a trout. And if we, you know, nobody starts off spey casting when they're 6 or 7 years of age. So we have to introduce people into salmon angling somewhere if we want to protect the future of the sport.
So what does the future hold for the Drow's fishery?
To be honest with you, I think that the future is uncertain because of the way salmon is being managed, you know, both nationally and internationally. We need to take it seriously. I think if you look at the conservation level attainment of the Drow's since the conservation limits were introduced over 13 years ago, we've been at the maximum at 300%. So we are sustainable, but the very fact that we're sustainable doesn't protect us from changes in regulation or policy or what's in vogue or what's in fashion. So like fundamentally what I think is that anglers have to have a choice if it's sustainable and if it can be, you know, if it's not going to have a detrimental effect on stocks in an individual river population, anglers should have the choice to retain their catch. And I think that's it's what gives salmon angling, in my personal opinion, it's what gives us authenticity and legitimacy.
Well, it's going to be a long road ahead, that's for sure, Shane. We might touch base with you later in the year to see how the kind of the later run and maybe the grills run is getting on with you guys up there.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the spring run turns out this year. If you look at, there's some research done by the Tweed Foundation about dominance of, you know, salmon runs and grilse runs, and that we may be moving into a period now where the grilse are less dominant and spring salmon become more dominant. So there's many theories out there, and I suppose nobody really, it's like salmon fishing itself. Nobody really knows all the answers or has all the answers.
All you know is if you get if your fly is in the water, that's the only way you'll find out.
Yeah, and yeah, and you won't catch any fish when you're not on the riverbank.
Exactly. So if people want to find out more, want to get in touch in terms of organising fishing, what's the website?
Yeah, the website is drowssalmonfishery.com, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. And anytime if anybody's any questions, or I'm always available.
Brilliant, and we'll keep an eye out for the first salmon of the season to be caught up in the Drows. Shane Gallagher from the Drows Fishery, thanks very much for joining me.
You're very welcome, Darren. Thank you.
Mayfly time is the pinnacle for most brown trout anglers, and we're pleased to announce our next Ireland on the Fly Masterclass is focusing on mayfly tactics with international angler, guide and renowned fly tyer Jackie Mann.
On Thursday the 25th of April at 8 p.m, Jackie will be discussing how to make the most of the conditions, the best flies and methods to use, as well as giving his tips and insights from a lifetime of experience.
So, to join us for this masterclass on Thursday, 25th of April, just go to www.irelandonthefly.com/masterclass. Tickets cost €10 and all attendees will get a copy of Jackie's notes as well as access to the recording of the webinar afterwards.
And stay tuned for our masterclasses throughout 2024, covering salmon, rivers, lochs, streamers, lures, dries, everything to make you a better salmon or trout fly angler, helping you to catch more this year and to learn from the best. For more information, email us on info@irelandonthefly.com.